Hi, today's December 12th, 2021. This is Todd Ogasawara with my good friend John Westfall, and this is Movies Cup Podcast 385. And my apologies to Don Sorcinelli and to Frank McPherson, who were supposed to be on the podcast last week. We didn't have a podcast last week because I had a bit of a weather issue that I had to deal with on a personal and professional level. And so I canceled that podcast. So my apologies to Don and Frank and to John.
Well, you had a good reason. So yeah. We let you off the hook for it.
So we're going to talk about that weather issue today in terms of technology. And I also wanted to note the passing of our pet rabbit, Bun Bun, who we lost on Friday. And this is relevant to the podcast because I wanted to talk to John, who's also lost some pets over the years, as many of us have, about, you know, how to remember them using technology. So anyway, the first thing is getting back to weather. So there are several serious weather-related events in the U.S. this past week, including the deadly tornadoes that went through a bunch of the Southeast. Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, and Tennessee is what I've got on the list from the news I read. And although hurricane season for us in Hawaii ended in November, which was, you know, just 2 weeks ago, essentially, we were hit by something called a Kona low, which is a storm system that comes kind of from the south, southeast, I guess, southwest maybe, but basically the south. Our hurricanes tend to come from the east of us. So they start in Baja, California, that area, and then move westward, east to west, towards Hawaii. But this one came from the south, which is, so it's not part of the hurricane season. And we did get hit by it. So, but we're going to talk about that more later. So anyway, back to our pets. So I mentioned John and I both had pets that passed away recently in the last couple of years. And a bunch of our friends who have been panelists with us here have also, in the last couple of years, in fact, just lost their pets. I won't name them to respect their privacy. If they want to talk about it later, we can. So really, you know, pets are like family. So, you know, what are the tech solutions that help you enjoy your pets while they're with you? And then sadly, as in our cases, after they pass. You know, the obvious answer is photos, and I took literally thousands of photos. I took a look. I have an album in Google Photos of our two rabbits. We had a third. My daughter's very first pet was a rabbit who passed away in 2018. And the two rabbits that we have, I have literally, I think, 8,000 photos in the Google Photo album. And those are just the good photos, if you know what I mean, not the blurry ones and stuff. So certainly, you know, I didn't miss out on that opportunity. But, you know, so I wanted to reach out to our fives of listeners and friends who may be listening. And, of course, John, who, you know, had some helpful tips. So, as I said, I store everything Google Photos. I have a Google One account, so I can, you know, store a bunch. And I think I did mention I've been mostly taking photos with my Android phone, my Pixel 4a, since Google Photos stopped unlimited photo storage, except for some Pixel phones. Not the new ones, by the way, but the old ones are still grandfathered in, apparently. So what do you think, John? I mean, you know, like, all I've been taking photos, storing Google Photos. I also store my iPhotos and OneDrive, for that matter. So I have them backed up in a bunch of places.
Yeah, photos are great. One thing I've started doing more recently with all of my photos is I had always kept Live Photo turned off. And recently, I've started keeping it turned on because I've realized you do capture a lot of interesting things on that little video clip that you get with a live photo. And sometimes they're very unexpected. And when it comes to a pet, you know, pets have this uncanny knack of moving right when you want to get a photo. You got that perfect lined up photo. They know exactly when to move. So sometimes the live photo is all that you get the few seconds before you actually hit the shutter button.
That's a good
point. Other times you get the range of motion. So what were they doing at that moment that made it cute enough that you grabbed your photo, you grabbed your camera to take a photo? I think sometimes that's another benefit of those live photos. I think once you go ahead.
I was just going to mention, if you have an Android phone, it has its version of Live Photos too. And I don't even know if there's a way to turn it off. Is it always on? I'm just looking at my Android phone camera. There might be an option to turn off its version of Live Photos. But, it's called Top Shot for some reason. And mine is set to auto so that it, you know, it takes the top shot, I guess, amongst a bunch that you take. But the end result is a motion photo that you can view in Google Photos. So very similar feature to Live Photos on the iPhone and iPad. Anyway, I'm sorry, John, you're going to say.
Yeah. So so in addition to Live Photos, you know, once you get a Live Photo, the next thing is to find something to do with the photos, and that's, I think, something that you and I have struggled with. We take a lot of photos, but then what do you do with them? I've recently started, there's a free prints.com, which advertises all over the place. They give you 20 free photos a month that they'll print and send to you, and you just pay shipping. They have a couple of, sidekick sites. One of them is Free Prints Gifts, where each month they do a photo gift of some sort that you can get. Now, the shipping on them is often a little bit higher than you're expecting, but it's not horribly high, and it does, you know, give you some ideas. So I've gotten a set of coasters from them in the past, and one thing I got this year was a blanket that had a 3x3 grid of photos on it, and I put on there pictures from, you know, current and former pets and, you know, my wife and I over the years, and just listed the pets' names at the bottom. You can add, you know, a little bit of text there. So that was a nice way of remembering some of the pets that we hadn't thought about in a while, even pets that we lost 10 years ago or so. And, you know, that's, I think, important that you actually have something to do with the photos that you take. Otherwise, they just sit there and you don't really do much with them.
Yeah, and I do have photos running in sequence on my Apple Watch and my Google Assistant. I have a Lenovo Smart Assistant and a few other things. So, you know, it's kind of a digital picture frame, which was popular many, many years ago, and you don't really need it anymore because all these other devices do such a fabulous job. So, you know, I'm looking at my Google Assistant right now that's, you know, sitting to the side of me and looking at pictures of pets as they flash by every minute or so. So that's kind of nice too. I hadn't thought about putting them on physical objects like a blanket or a mug or something else. So that's something I think I'll look into.
Yeah, and sometimes those are the things that you have around the house. Like the blanket that I made is draped over the back of a chair. And so, you know, it's not something that you're going to look at every single day, but when it catches your eye, it's something that, you know, has a nice little reminder of it or tone to it.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's a really good idea. I had not thought of that at all. You know, one of the things I really wish I had done a bit of, I played with some 3D tools with some of our pets over the years, but I never really, didn't really come out the way I wanted them to come out, probably because I didn't know how to use the tool properly. And it would be really nice if I had done a better job with them. You know, the two pets that have passed away in the last couple of years, 2018 and then just this past Friday, to you know, maybe do 3D modeling or something. And we have one remaining pet, which will be my last pet. And maybe I should try to do a job before her time is over. But
well, and for us, the way we sort of did a little bit of a 3D thing is when our 19-year-old cat died, we had our ashes put in an urn that was shaped like a sitting cat.
Interesting.
And that sits on my wife's dresser next to one of the cat's favorite toys. And it's just kind of a nice way to keep her. She was always in the bedroom with us her remaining years or her last few years just because of her health. She didn't like to go far away. So that's, you know, it's little things like that. And you never really move past anyone that you lose, animal, person, you know, time of life. I, you know, we often don't even think about it, but we do grieve different things in our lives, whether they're actual person or moment or, you know, the time that our children are young or the time that our parents are with us, all those things. So anything that keeps you able to ground to the memories of the day and how that day was and how those days were, I think is helpful.
Yeah. Thank you for those tips. Especially the physical thing, which, you know, you see all over the place, but I just really never thought of it. I have done a couple of things in the past, you know, prior to our pets passing this past Friday. Costco I don't know if you have a Costco near you. They seem to be everywhere. But Costco offers a really nice service. Well, they will, for a very reasonable price, print photos on, you know, various kinds of surfaces, including acrylic, and, you know, they'll frame it and everything for you. So it's really neat. And I've done, not many, one or two of those, but I've really thought that the results were excellent when we got them. So that's one thing I would recommend. And I'm sure there are other features. One I don't recommend is Google Photos has a booklet making service, and I had one made, and I think it took 6 months for it to be actually delivered. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That was a little bit long.
Yeah. So, you know, never using that again. But I've used other, you know, online services to do printing and things like I think it's Snapfish still around? Well, whatever it became, you know, one of those kind of things that I still use every now and then. Don't really do many physical prints, and I really should do a few, I think. A few more. I'm looking at, how many do I have? About five on the wall right now of some pets. And our quasi-pet, our bird Buster, that hung around our house for a couple of months. And I mean, by hung around, I mean like it slept above the rabbit cage and things like that, you know, and hung around with them when they're outside in the pen. So it was pretty interesting. He was a, what was he called? A white rump Sharma, for those of you who are interested in birds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all about doing what you can to keep the memory alive and keep things alive. Journaling is also good, too. I've mentioned the Day One app that I use. And you can create multiple journals in it. So you could have a pet journal. And you can have a journal. You know, you just tag things with your pets. I actually have on my home screen, on my iPhone, I have two Siri shortcuts that allow me to do journaling throughout the day. One of them, and I actually have my two pet cats' faces on the icons, so that that just also is fun, too, to have that. I'll actually show Todd a picture of it. You can kind of see in the lower right
there.
I have one that's named Captain's Log, and that's kind of a running log each day. And then Mood, which will let me put in a text and then attach a photo to it. And so it's kind of if I've got something longer than a log entry. But those are nice because with the Captain's Log entry, it also stamps the time, the location I was at, the weather, how many steps I'd taken at that point during the day. So it creates this nice little running log each day where I can see what my thoughts were, and sometimes the pets show up in that. So try and be more present and document your being present in the moment. That's what it's all about.
I'm grabbing the URL for a Day One app, and the URL is literally dayoneapp.com. So pretty hard to get that one wrong. And
you would hope.
And so I will put that little link right here for myself to remember and take a look at. Because you've mentioned this in the past, and I'm not really a journaler, although I am a note taker. You know, I need to put a lot of stuff. I used to use we both used to use Evernote a lot. These days, mostly use Keep, but that's not so much to take notes as much as just clip off web items of interest. I do use, you know, now that you mention it, though, and I tried Notion, didn't really like it, although I know a lot of people love that thing. Lately, I have been using for my work notes something called Notability, which has been working out real well for me. So for, you know, lots of text, I've been sticking it in there. I think the only problem with Notability is that unlike Evernote, it doesn't have a web component. So, you know, I have to have an app to refer to it.
Yeah.
One thing I do is I save it as an RTF file to OneDrive. And so at least I can, you know, pop, you know, it's indirect, I guess, but I can still see the note in the web without having an app. But it's not the same as, you know, having a nice web interface that I can edit and everything. So it's one way, right? Yeah.
And one other thing about Day One that's kind of nice is that not only does it secure all your stuff, but it also will let you do, they have a diary or journal printing service. So if you have a collection of entries that you do actually want in physical form, they have bound journals that they will print and send to you. So there are people I know that do that regularly. I have an automated journal that I have stuff automatically go into every day, such as the temperature and the weather report and news and that sort of thing. So I have what was going on in the world during that time. And then I've got my journal, which are my entries and what's, you know, what I feel is important to note. So.
Yeah, I should
note
that.
You can really splice and dice as much as you want with it.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at the website now, and I'm looking at the pricing. So it's like Evernote. It's got what looks like a very useful free free version that does, you know, a lot of stuff, and a premium version, which is, what is it, $3 a month? $2.92 a month, so yeah, $3 a month. Billed annually, it says, so I guess that's, what, $35 a month at $2.92, or $36, a little under $36. And it says no ads, even for the basic, with, you know, no cost, which is interesting. It does have limitations, like the number of photos you can attach per entry, one photo per entry, which I think is fine. Has audio recordings, voice to text. This is all for the premium for $2.92 a month. A couple other things, but it looks like the free version is a good way to get started.
Yeah. You know. I do use the audio recording quite a bit.
I do.
Where I'll, you know, just because it'll do transcription. So you can get kind of both there with that.
Yeah, that's the other premium feature, audio recordings and voice to text transcription. So that's pretty neat. All right, let's take a look at that. And then back to weather. Now, you know, just before the podcast started, I was asking John if he was in one of the states that was hit by tornadoes. But John himself, his area is fine. I think he said he got some rain and so forth. So mm-hmm. he was okay. Over here, we had something called a Kona low. You know, and I've lived here almost all my life, and I've never heard of this before. So what is it? It's a like I said, hurricane season ended November 30th. And you know, hurricanes and cyclones, to my knowledge, are identical except for where you name them. I think in the Atlantic it's a hurricane, and here typically we call it hurricanes also in the Pacific, but I think it's actually a tropical cyclone. But a Kona low is a subtropical cyclone that instead of coming from our east, you know, east to west, a storm moving east to west, this one moves south comes from the south and moves north. Kona is on the southwestern side of the Big Island of Hawaii, and so it's really a direction, not so much that it comes from Kona, the city of Kona. But at any rate, so we had it brought a heck of a lot of rain, not too much wind where the populated areas are, but I think I heard some people maybe 10 to 15 inches of rain in 24-hour period. So it was, you know, flooding conditions, and fortunately the winds are relatively mild in the populated areas, although I did read that the tops of the mountains, and the mountains are about 10,000 feet high, so about 2 miles, were exceeded 100 miles per hour. So they were hurricane force winds at least at the mountaintop. So the big problem for me, or for not just me, but for many people is, you know, we had electrical outages. I have to say I only had a couple of power glitches where I live. So I was fortunate, but downtown Honolulu, where the businesses are, some areas lost power up to 3 days. My office building was out of power for about 6 hours, but we have a large generator, so we were able to keep chugging along through the storm, fortunately. And you know, there's not a lot you can do about electricity, unless you have your own generator, or if you're off the grid and you have solar, and hopefully your panels don't tear off in the wind, that sort of thing. But the biggest problem, I think, was the internet providers, you know. So Charter Spectrum, which is my cable modem provider, went down. And I was working remotely through the storm, and it went down about, I think, 9:30 or 10 p.m. Monday night. So I popped out my Verizon MiFi, and lo and behold, Verizon was down too. At least the tower nearest me was down, so I had no Verizon service whatsoever. For data, fortunately, I have a personal AT&T device, and I was able to get LTE, so I could continue working through the power outage, or not sorry, not the power outage, the internet outage, from two of my, you know, three providers. So that was, you know, not unexpected, right? I mean, these things happen. I understand that, but boy, it really reminds you how dependent we are on information, especially if you're working through a weather situation, as I was.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of that not ever having everything in the cloud. You know, a lot of us have this temptation to have as much in the cloud as possible, and that's great. But I'm a big believer that you want local backups of everything. So OneDrive is nice in that you have a local copy of your files. Of course, OneDrive on demand means that you might have files that you thought were local that are actually in the cloud. So you might want to go through every so often and make sure that the directories that you're going to always need access to are marked to always download to your device.
Right.
Same thing with email. Email is one of those ones that we really think, oh, it's in the cloud, I can search for it there. Yeah, but if you need a local copy, you know, you might want to have an email backup service of some sort that regularly runs on your home network just to keep a copy near you of your data.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting because at work we use Microsoft Teams calling, which replaced our phones. So we don't have phone service from the local phone company anymore. And we do not, you know, we're not quite at the point where we're fully disaster-proof our phone system. Of course, neither is the regular phone system. But interestingly enough, during the storm when, my two internet providers went out, I got a phone call, you know, via Teams calling to my remaining online device, my AT&T device. It's about 10 p.m. at night. My coworker called me to check up on a few things. And I said, yeah, you know, I lost Spectrum cable and AT&T didn't work. I'm sorry, not AT&T. AT&T was working. Verizon isn't working. He says, how am I talking to you? You know, since we're using a cloud telephony system, right? I said, I'm on AT&T. Their LTE is still chugging along and that's how we're talking. So, you know, at least our cloud phone service continued chugging along despite, my personal inability to get to two of my broadband providers. One thing that did puzzle me during the storm is, you know, John, you've probably been in these situations where you have, you know, severe weather alert. In fact, I'm getting a little minor alert saying light rain is going to start. That you know, you have a government issued alert, right, for severe weather, you know, flooding conditions, that sort of thing, hurricanes, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch of devices, you know, in and around our home, and some displayed the emergency broadcast information and some didn't. I cannot figure out why, and I did check my settings. So I need to investigate that a little more. Maybe they need a soft reset or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's always one that's very difficult to... It seems like they want you to always have those settings, so they hide them so you can't easily turn them off. But yet if they're broken, finding and customizing can be a nightmare with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately, we haven't had any other emergency alerts since this Kona low storm passed through us. So, you know, there's no way to test it except during emergencies. That's a problem. You know, yeah. I think in 2020, maybe, the federal government did an emergency nationwide test, which didn't work in Hawaii, by the way. but you know, I think maybe monthly are, you know, we should do that with phones. I'll talk to some people about that. I know some people who work on that. Okay. Next up, speaking of weather, although I don't have it installed on my watch itself, you know, Apple announced its 2021 Apple Store or App Store awardees. And Carrot Weather, the iPhone app was not the winner, but its watch app was the watch app of the year. I guess I could install it. It's just that, you know, I really don't install apps on my watch. I don't know, John, do you install a lot of apps on your watch?
I allow it to install all of the apps on my watch. So really? Occasionally I will. And I have used Carrot in the past, both on the iPhone and on the Apple Watch. And I might go back to it because they keep saying that they're sunsetting Dark Sky at some point. And I really like Dark Sky. That's what I've used for years. So I don't know if I will be going back to it. But I do think it's an interesting app. I think it's a useful app. But Dark Sky's done everything I need, so I haven't really thought about Carrot in a while.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, as I mentioned, if you go to the App Store Awards 2021, Carrot Weather is the Apple Watch app of the year. So since I bought Carrot Weather, I'm installing or trying to install it now. You're just circling and circling and circling and early installing anything. I don't know how long it takes, but maybe it doesn't want to. So, and by the way, the reason I don't install apps on my watch is prior to my Apple Watch 6, I had an Apple Watch Series 3, which had a very limited amount of memory. And every time I had to upgrade the firmware, I couldn't upgrade it until I removed apps. So I just ended up not installing any third-party apps on it. And although the Series 6 has a lot more storage, I just continued that habit out of habit, really. I guess there's no reason to do it. Okay, I think Carrot finally installed on my phone. Sure, it took a while. I don't see it, though. There it is. Installed on watch. Carrot. Okay, I'll give it a try. I actually prefer Carrot Weather to Dark Sky, which I also bought. And I'm grandfathered in, so I don't have to pay the, you know, annual premium that new purchasers do. I really prefer the way Carrot shows the same information, you know, that they get from Dark Sky, especially the rain information, you know, and during the rain event that made a heck of a lot of difference. So, yeah, I've been using Carrot a lot more since the storm, especially because I just found, and I was kind of mostly using Dark Sky like you previous to it. I just, during the storm, I really noticed that it provided a lot more information at a glance, or at least information I was interested in at a glance. So,
but anyway, well, you are encouraging me, so I will go get Carrot again.
Yeah, I gotta go see what Carrot looks like on my watch now. But maybe I'll do it after. I can't even find the icon. Oh, there it is. Okay, so I'm turning it on. Speech off. Oh yeah, let's leave speech off. So I can talk to you, but you know, Carrot gets a little saucy sometimes.
Yeah.
So I would leave speech off, especially if you're gonna use it your watch at work. Okay, so there's a little tutorial. Ready to embark? Yes, I'm good. Okay, it says rain stopping in 19 minutes. Get down on your knees and thank me. Yeah. Carrot's an app with a sense of humor. So and I think you can adjust its humor level. And like you, I don't know what's going to happen when Apple turns off Dark Sky and Carrot switches to another weather provider, because they don't have their own, you know, weather system. Does it? I'm looking at its settings now to see. Oh, yeah, the source. So you can, Dark Sky is the default, and you can choose from a whole bunch of others, but they're all locked, so it looks like you have to pay for them. Yeah. So I don't know what happens once Dark Sky gets turned off. I guess they'll force me to pay to use it. Well, we'll find out. You can also get data from a personal weather station, which is interesting. I don't know how you set that up. Might have to do a premium. But any case, I'll fuss with this later. Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention is that for our Fives listeners, some of you might be surprised to know that your Android or iPhone has a barometer built in. I believe that's partly how it determines your altitude by pressure changes as you move. So when you go up the stairs, I think partially that's from the barometer, or pressure changes as you move up and down a building. But I'll include in our blog associated with this podcast a screenshot I took of a app I use on the iPhone called Barometer S10, installed on my iPhone again. And you can see the dramatic barometric change that it recorded during the 14-day period before and after the Kona low. And you can literally see why this is called the Kona low, as a barometric pressure dropped from about 29.92 to, what is it looks like, about 29.65, I'm going to guess. So, you know, it's quite a dramatic shift in barometric pressure. And the graph is quite something to look at. Yeah. Do you use any special apps in your neck of the woods?
Well, I don't use anything too much around here that, you know, other than Dark Sky weather much in this area. As I was telling you before the podcast, we do get tornadoes. It's straight line winds that really matter to us too as well. Mm. So because we're so flat. And so Carrot and Dark Sky, anything that'll give me wind directions are what I need to know, and gusts, you know. To give you an example, yesterday morning I went out for a walk. It was 60 degrees out, but had gusts of up to 25 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning I went out, it was 30 degrees out, but no gusts. You know, pretty much no wind this morning. And this morning's walk, even though it was 30 degrees lower temperature, was much more enjoyable than yesterday morning's walk. Yeah. Just because of the wind. So I think, you know, anything that can give me that. And I'm going to explore Carrot a little bit more now that I've got that again. But you did talk about the App Store winners this year. Do we want to take a look at those and see what our thoughts were on them?
I'd actually like to get your end of year reminders first, and then we'll go back to the App Store winners.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, these are just little things that I think about because I'm paranoid toward the end of the year. And I thought it'd be good to share with our Fives of listeners, especially if they're like me and they have these things and they go, oh, yeah, I should do something with that. So first one is run a backup, even if you run regular backups, specifically an air-gapped backup of some sort. So I have an external hard drive that basically backs up all of my essential stuff off of my network attached storage. I have a reminder to do that once a month, although honestly, I could probably get away with once every 6 months or even once a year because I also have an offsite that gets replicated to every night. So really, the air gap is if in the rare event I'd get hit by ransomware or something like that. But definitely still something important to have. Plus, at the end of the day, if I need to take off and run with data, you know, getting evacuated if we do have a weather event or something like that, the external hard drive is a lot easier to grab than the network attached storage.
There you go.
Same thing, you probably keep that external hard drive somewhere safe, maybe a fireproof safe or a firebox or something like that, or a safety deposit box at a bank. Check your important paperwork. Do that once a year, because if any of that is lost, if it got moved or something like that, you definitely want to know about that before it's an emergency. You don't want to be, you don't need to go to grab your passport because you need it in 5 minutes to leave for the airport and then realize that you moved it 3 months earlier or somewhere else. You want to search those things out at your leisure. Update firmware and software on any embedded devices you usually keep offline. So crypto cold wallets are good examples of this. If you have a backup cold wallet that you keep somewhere safe, every so often you need to connect it, make sure the batteries are still working on it, make sure that any firmware that has been released for it is updated. Otherwise, I've heard horror stories of people who wait 3 or 4 years, they pull out their backup device has a firmware that's too old to connect to the current desktop device, and it just is a nightmare. So do that every so often.
And make sure you don't throw away your external hard drive with $500 million in Bitcoin like one unfortunate fellow did last week.
That's definitely a good idea not to do. bad karma if that happens to you.
Yeah, yeah. And then, go ahead.
Well, the last thing I have is any end-of-life instructions for your loved ones. So, update any passwords you changed, any new financial accounts, strike out outdated information. I have a little book that I have a three-color system for. So black is initial entries, green is anything new that needs to, be aware of, and then red is for any strike out or corrections. That way, if the worst happens, you've got something for your loved ones that, something that wasn't updated 10 years ago.
That's a really, really, really good point. And not technical, but if you have legal documents, make sure they're up to date, trusts and wills and those sort of things, which we tend to do once and forget forever. And then, when the time comes that it's actually needed, you're like, you never updated it for it, whoever is left behind to deal with your stuff, so to speak. Yeah. I definitely got to do more of that. Definitely. Okay, going back to the App Store winners, there, it's an interesting grouping of stuff. I don't know. Did you take a look at the list, John? I'm taking a look now.
I did, and there's a few that stand out to me that I'll give you my thoughts on, and then you can give me yours. LumaFusion is an app that I downloaded a couple of years ago, and I do really like it. It's a video editing app, and it lets you do some really nice video editing on the iPad. So I have on my MacBook Final Cut Pro and, serious video editing software. But if you want something that lets you on the go create your videos or just kind of spruce up some video stuff, it's a really nice app for that. So I will vouch for LumaFusion. Craft is an interesting one for macOS that's, it's almost like Canva in that it primarily appeals to if you want something that's prettier than just what you can do in Word or Pages or PowerPoint or those sorts of things. And Canva is also an award winner this year under Connection Apps. Canva is great, Craft is great, but I can't get myself to pay for those services. I like using them to make things look pretty, but I don't necessarily want to pay for them. Carrot, we've talked about. The games, I didn't play any of those four games that they highlighted. League of Legends, Wild Rift, Marvel Future Revolution, Space Marshals 3, or Myst.
Myst was an interesting winner, That's a super old, at least the original super old. Yeah.
And then the games I have been playing this year are there's a solitaire game, Flip Flop Solitaire, I've been playing in the app in the arcade. mini motorways in the arcade. Those are great games. They did not get highlighted. I have not played Fantasian, which is the Apple Arcade game of the year. And the connection apps, other than Canva, I have not used any of the others. Among Us, obviously, has been very popular, but I've not gotten around to playing Among Us, which is probably a good thing. And yeah, I don't think there was any other thoughts I had. What did you think about the apps this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I have never tried LumaFusion, but I've read a lot of good things about it. I guess the thing that's stopping me from trying is I don't do a lot of video, and I should, you know, going back to kind of our how to remember our pets. And I really should, but I don't. And it's $30 to get started. So, you know, for an iPad app, that's but people say, you know, like people say, you know, if you want an app to stick around and be improved, you need to pay some money so the developers can make a living and have an incentive to keep improving it. It does have a 4.9 rating on the App Store. I'm sorry, I'm looking at Craft. Let me look at LumaFusion. LumaFusion. What I don't understand is after you pay $30, there's still in-app purchases. So, oh shoot. View in Mac App Store. Here we go. So I don't understand what the in-app purchases are. Do you happen to know?
For LumaFusion, I think it's to export your project file to Final Cut Pro if you want to have all of that information. And I think there might be another one that's another niche kind of thing. Scenario you might need. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't see. Yeah, I don't see what the add-ons are, how much they cost, and that always worries me when you pay. You know, again, you know, $30 is not a lot compared to the hundreds of dollars, $1,000 you'd pay for. You know, desktop application, but still, it's, you know, for something I rarely would use. Craft I found kind of interesting, but again, you know, for the Mac OS, I think it's free, but there's in-app purchases or something, and you know, those things always kind of worry me about. Oh, here we go. It's not bad. So $45. We've talked about it before. $45 for an annual subscription. I guess if you use it a lot, that's a pretty good thing to have. And Canva, which was kind of in the trend of the year. Interesting. I've not tried any of the games. I probably should try Myst, because I think I remember finding it interesting 30-some-odd years ago on a PC. Mm-hmm. And or Marvel Future Evolution, because, you know, a comic book fan. But looking at the apps themselves, no, and I didn't even know it. You know, I don't even have an Apple TV anymore, so I didn't even know what Dazen is, or Toca Boca, which is, I guess, a game or a learning app, something like that. So let me click on this. Oh, I can't click on it. Interesting. There it is. What is Toca Boca? It's a children's create your world and characters. It's in the education category, so it's not a game, but a gamified education app. Nothing that really, you know, except for Carrot Weather, because I can actually install it. Was really interesting. Myst is kind of interesting, although I don't really play games on my Mac. And you know, LumaFusion, again, I just don't do enough videos to make it worth my while to pay $30. But one of these days. Were there any apps that you think should have been on here that wasn't?
Nothing that really came to mind, although I've become less app adventurous in the last couple of months. Me so too. Nothing has jumped up in my brain as a great app this year that I could have thought of to add.
Me too. You know, most of the apps I add these days are for services, you know, for, you know, various kind of health things. You know, your medical provider has an app. If you have a veterinarian, my veterinarian has an app, you know, various, cable TV kind of things, you know, to hand manage your accounts. But that's it. Yeah, like you, I have not been installing stuff. I will notice one thing really weird I noticed the other day. So years ago, I bought a pretty interesting music synthesizer simulation app called Magellan. And I just felt like noodling around at something. It may have been right after our pet passed away, and I just wanted to kind of be distracted. And unfortunately, at least Magellan on my iPad Pro doesn't work. And I looked it up. I said, gee, you know, it turns out that this version, which is 64 bits, so it, you know, it launches and everything without a warning on my iPad Pro, hasn't been updated in 3 years. You know, maybe that has something to do with it. All I get is a buzz every time I press a key on the virtual keyboard on the screen. But I thought that was kind of interesting. And also a timer app I use for, you know, the little exercise that I do called Interval Timer, which is, I have the free version. I haven't paid for it, so maybe I shouldn't complain. But the audio alarm doesn't work anymore either. The vibration does, so I can still tell when, you know, I've gone through a circuit or whatever. But that was kind of interesting. So a lot of audio issues, and I think it's a combination, well, I'm pretty sure, it's a combination of the app not being compatible with iOS 15.1 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've also noticed my screen freezing on my iPhone. I don't know if you, I have a 12 Pro, you have a 13. So I don't know if you've seen that, you know, in like settings, nothing fancy. Like, you know, go to the settings and, you know, try to change something. It'll often just freeze and I have to like do a soft restart, which is sort of annoying. I've noticed that recently.
Yeah, I have not noticed that, but I will keep an eye out for it.
Yeah. I guess I had a couple other things I was going to say, but we'll save it for next time. You know, we're coming up to the end of the year. It's hard to believe it's already 12th. We've only got, depending on your availability, and we've only got one or two more podcasts left for this calendar year, at least. So hopefully we'll be able to squeeze in one before you need to go to, a super secret mission or something during the holidays. And we'll try to get some of our friends that unfortunately I had to postpone because of my weather event last week. So, John, I don't know if we'll have another podcast this year. Hope we do. But if not, thank you as usual for taking the time to just, you know, sit around and chat with me and reminisce about pets and talk about Windows CE.
Always a pleasure.
And all those kind of fun things.
Yeah, for sure.
And so if we don't have another podcast in 2021, thank you to our fives of listeners who check in every now and then. And if we do, we'll be back in another week. And then if not, we'll regroup in 2022. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks.